What is practicing virtue? Is purifying our negative karma. What is purifying negative karma is the practice of virtue. To practice, we don't have to spend money. To attain liberation, to attain Buddhahood, we don't have to spend money. To purify our mind, we don't need money. What we need is we need methods and we need guidance. When we want to keep our body healthy, we need to spend money. We go to the gym, we need a trainer maybe, or we need the subscription to the gym, and we need to have the money to eat the right foods. However, with respect to keeping our mind healthy, all we really need to do is find a very, very good teacher. Then once we have the method from the very good guide, then we just have to go home and apply it in practice. It is very important that we engage in meaningful activities. It's also very important that we understand what meaningful activities are. Sometimes we engage in activities and we think this is very good. However, later we find out it doesn't really help us. We all know that we've arrived on this earth, this world, and we will be here and play for a little short while and then we'll have to leave it again. We say, oh, forever this, forever that. What forever? We really only have, if we are fortunate, a few decades on this world. And then we all line up to leave this world. For this very short time that we have on this world, use it beneficially. Every day, engage in accumulating merit. Engage in virtuous activities. Then having this life is meaningful and has merit. Of course, some people have greater abilities and they're able to do more activities and really reach many, many beings. However, what we do is we do according to our capabilities and don't compare to other people. Don't judge ourselves compared to others. Look at your own situation. How much money we have, what we can do in terms of virtuous activities, that we can still purify our mind stream, transform these afflictions. This is of the greatest merit. We might want to engage in activities of the external world. However, these virtuous activities are beneficial, but not the most beneficial. Most beneficial is to practice. Bring our mind home, bring it to calm abiding, and transform these afflictive emotions. Purify these afflictive emotions. And this is what is of the greatest benefit to us. And this is of incredible merit. Why? Because in order to be able to attain Buddhahood, we have to purify our afflictions. And through purifying these afflictive emotions, gradually we come to know our true nature of mind. And this is all related to attaining enlightenment and is of supramundane merit, spiritual merit. And in this way, we can engage in material activities and we can practice and place the most emphasis on attaining Buddhahood. And of course, we can go and do these other activities, maybe do animal liberations, butter lamp offerings. However, most important is transforming these afflictive emotions. And this is the most meaningful for ourselves. And through our practice, we can really enter into a very stable, pure state of mind. And then we can really experience and abide in our true nature of mind, our Buddha nature. And this is possible for every single one of us. And so we are here together and we're just having a chat. And to see everybody, I'm very happy. And these arising causes happen spontaneously. They come together, don't they? Buddha said that whatever comes together will one day part. Everything is impermanent, changing, and nobody can control us. However, within our life, no matter where we go, as long as we take bodhicitta and wisdom with us, then we will be able to benefit sentient beings. And it doesn't just have to be humans. If we have bodhicitta, even non-humans, we can benefit many of them. Maybe many animals. However, if we don't have bodhicitta, then it's no guarantee we'll be able to benefit others. What is it that can really benefit sentient beings is this bodhicitta. And the benefit and the power, the energy of bodhicitta is incredible. So this is something everybody should practice. And with respect to practicing pith instructions, those that have the pith instructions, they know. Those that don't, there's no need to talk about it. What we can talk about is great bodhicitta for everybody. Ostensibly, all people are full of bodhicitta, are very kind of virtuous. Why is this? Is that right from the beginning, we've got this buddhi nature. And so naturally, we are kind, friendly. Every one of us has buddha nature, and so every one of us has this kind, friendly mind or nature. And this is the manifestation of the merit of buddha nature. If we didn't have this true nature, then this kindness, this wouldn't manifest, it wouldn't appear. Every single sentient being inherently is a Buddha. However, we don't see it, so how do we prove? Where's the evidence that we have this Buddha nature? How do I believe that I have Buddha nature? I have so many problems, afflictions. You want me to practice Buddhism? How do I know I have this Buddha nature? It's easy, because we all have this kind nature. And this also includes animals. Look how they look after their young, how they also care for each other. This shows that they have a part of this Buddha nature, this caring nature shining out. We all have this Buddha nature, just we haven't recovered it or returned to it. And when we return to it, then every one of us is very kind and friendly. And then gradually through practice, this kindness and this friendliness starts to transform into bodhicitta. And this is the way of the bodhisattva. And letting that kind seed slowly grow. And when this all ripens, it becomes bodhicitta. And on the foundation of this bodhicitta, then we practice these pith instructions that we receive, and we return back to our true nature of mind. And to recognize our true nature of mind is really quite simple. It's just the only problem is that we don't have methods and we don't have a guide in our guru that is telling us how to practice. And then students aren't willing to settle down and practice. What is our greatest obstacle to practice is that we're not able to settle down and practice. Not willing to go into retreat, not willing to settle down and engage in practice. This is really our greatest negative karma. We talk about karmic obstacles and conceptual obstacles. The mind that isn't able to settle down, this is what we call karmic obstacles. Not willing to practice is called conceptual obscurations. These are the things that are affecting us in this life. And this is the reason why we're not improving in our practice. Every day, looking at our phones. Why is it that we're not willing to practice, to go into retreat? The summary of all of these is it comes down to karmic obstacles and conceptual obscurations. We're not willing to practice is conceptual obstacles, and karmic obstacles is that we're not able to settle down and practice. And apart from this, there really is no other karmic or conceptual obscuration. So it's very important that we all conscientiously settle down and practice. If you really want to attain liberation and enlightenment, we must go and do retreats and practice the pith instructions we are given. Then after receiving and practicing these, then we practice the Togal pith instructions. We must practice Togal. Why? And why is it that we must practice Togal? Because of all of the great enlightened lineage masters, they all practice this. And this is the most auspicious dharma. It's not the cutting through trickery instructions. There are two things with respect to the great perfection. One is the cutting through instructions and the other is Togal. And this has been the case for all of history of the lineage. If we haven't been to practice these and receive these blessings and empowerments, then it's not of the greatest meaning. And having received this, we must go into retreat and practice. And if we do this within a few decades, we really can achieve an incredible state of realization. However, if we don't, then we carry on living in this state of mind and we die in this state of mind. If we just carry on doing a little bit of practice here in the day, a little bit of practice in the evening, and we never achieve any real state of realization, then what have we actually achieved? And then all that happens is we recite some of the texts, some of the sutras, some of the prayers. However, even although there is great benefit and merit in each of these words, and they have been realized by great masters, we don't have any of this realization. Reading the sutras is the same, receiving the blessings and the empowerments is the same, requesting for dharma is the same. However, we don't have any experience, any liberation, any enlightenment. And the reason is we're not willing to really practice. And if you require them to settle down and practice, they still don't. And what is one of the reasons for this is that from when we are young, we are taught to study. And all of the study, we've never been told that we have to, or taught that we have to realize this. And so we haven't changed this habit. Even in terms of our practice, we haven't changed this habit. What we've done is transferred this whole system of studying into Buddhism. And in reality, all of the Buddhism hasn't really been absorbed into our mind stream. We have the state of cherishing and joy and relying on the Dharma, willing to meet the Guru, receive the blessings, receive all the empowerments. But if we don't practice, what is the great meaning of all of this? This is not the true Dharma. These are just generating arising causes. The true Dharma is taking the Dharma and practicing and going into retreat. Or by yourself sometimes. Are you willing to do this? Going to retreat for 100 days, 200 days, 300 days, 400 days. It is through doing this that we are able to attain the state of realization of maybe rainbow body. So the problem isn't the Dharma. The problem is we as people are not practicing the Dharma. It's not the problem of the lineage.